Oh, it's good to be back, isn't it? Isn't it great to be in the room? And welcome to all of you who are online as well. Last time I was here was in January, so probably most of you were away on holiday somewhere, but you may have been here and you may have heard me speaking. And I was sharing about my mum, actually, last time I was here. I had just been over to the UK to spend Christmas with her. You know, like everyone else around the world, I'd had 2 years where I hadn't been able to see the people that I love. And so it was great to get over at Christmas, and I was sharing about that. And that was on the Sunday. And the Friday after I spoke, my mum went to be with Jesus. And I am just so grateful to God for that time that he gave me. It was an absolute amazing testimony of God's grace that I hadn't been able to see her in 2 years, and I'd had all these plans of people I would go and see and things I would do, but I just spent all that time sat on her sofa watching daytime TV with her. And so I'm just so grateful to God. But I went back to the UK for her funeral, and my sisters know that I work at a church, so they're like, oh, you better do the eulogy. You know, you're the spiritual one. So I did mum's eulogy, and it was wonderful to actually be able to reflect on my mum's life. You know, my mum was the best mum in the whole wide world. I'm sure that lots of us think that about our mums, but my mum was amazing. And it was great to be able to think about what she was like as a mother. And when I was thinking about what she was like as a mother, it then started to take me on a journey to think about my life and my life as a mother. So I am a mother of five, which is a miracle in itself, because I had cancer and chemotherapy, and we didn't know that we were going to have that many children. It was a bit of a miracle. So, yep, definitely a miracle. And also, I'm a grandmother of three. So I have lots of mothering experience. Oh, being a grandmother is so much better than being a mother, though. Oh, it's just amazing. And they don't keep you up at night. And so anyway, I was thinking about my life as a mother, and I was thinking about how God used my motherhood to call me to him. And he wanted to speak to me. He wanted to call me back to his family because he passionately loves me. And he passionately loves you. And because he passionately loves us, he passionately pursues us. And he used my motherhood to speak to me and to pursue me, because he will use any way or anything that he can to be able to speak to us. So before we start today, I'm just going to pray again. So let's just pray. Thank you, God, for mothers. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, and for your pursuit of us. And I just pray today that you will help us to hear you as we open the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's open the word. Let's go to Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 to 23. And I do say this quite often, I am no good at Old Testament pronunciations, so if you think I'm pronouncing this guy's name wrong, sorry. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Was that what you were expecting to hear on Mother's Day? He's not even a woman, never mind a mother. But who he was, this Balaam guy, was a person who was doing his own thing and not seeking God and not seeking what God wanted him to do. Now, to be fair to him, if you do go back the verses before this passage that we're reading, God had spoken to Balaam, and Balaam had sought him out, and God had said, go with the Moabites. There's a little word after that, though, that God used, but. He said, go with the Moabites, but do only what I tell you. So Balaam ignored that. He heard what he wanted to hear, and then he went on his way doing his own thing. Now, my mum was a very faithful person. She had a beautiful faith. She loved Jesus passionately. And she brought me and my sisters up to go to church. Mum was a Catholic. Dad was a Methodist, but for a long time of his life, he wasn't. And so I hated going to church. I hated the fact that every Sunday morning, we had to get up, we had to dress beautifully, and because Mum was a Catholic, we couldn't eat until after church. They had this rule, I don't even know if it still exists, that if you were going to have communion, you couldn't have ate anything else first. So we didn't eat, we had to go to church, and as we left, Dad would be lying in bed reading his newspaper. Do you remember what those are? They're those big things made of paper that we used to have. He used to be lying in bed reading his newspaper, and I had to go to church, and it was boring, and I hated it. But I heard the word of God every single week. It didn't change my life because I didn't listen. I didn't let it in to change my life. I was just doing my own thing. And as soon as I possibly could, I stopped going to church and I just lived life my own way. I filled my life with all sorts of things that I thought were going to make me happy. I partied hard, I played hard, I did work hard. I was a very good scholar at school. I worked very hard at school because I was a good girl. But I lived the rest of my life just as a good girl, never having fun. And as far as I was concerned, I wasn't that bad because I never killed anyone. So I was okay. But I definitely wasn't living a Christian life, and I definitely did not have any relationship whatsoever with Jesus. And it soon caught up with me, and at a pretty early age, I soon found out I was going to be a mother. God first spoke to Balaam as he went with the towards the Moabites by stopping him in his tracks. And God first called me quietly through my pregnancy. My mother had an auntie who was very close in age to her, and they were very good friends. And this auntie had had lots of miscarriages. I cannot relate to anyone who's had a miscarriage because I haven't done it myself. But what I do know is that it is incredibly painful. And so if that is you, I am so sorry for your loss. But my great aunt didn't want me to go through that pain. And so she said to my mum, you've got to take Fiona to the church and the priest has to pray for this baby. So I went off with my mum, because I told you I was a good girl, I did what my mum said. I went to church and the priest prayed for this baby and he blessed me. And that was that. I just ignored the fact that perhaps God could have been speaking to me. I didn't recognize him in it, and I just, like Balaam, ignored him and got back on the road. Let's carry on in Numbers, chapter 22, verses 24 to 25. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards, with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. The second time that God spoke to Balaam, the road was narrower. And the second time that God called me back to him, he spoke a little louder. I got married. We've now been married for 35 years. And we went on to have more children. Now, at this point, we had two boys. Everyone, and I mean everyone in my husband's family, has boys. And so we had two boys. I love my two boys. This is not taking anything away from them. But when we got pregnant again and found out It wasn't a boy. I was ecstatic. It wasn't even just a boy, no, a girl. It was two girls. We were pregnant with twins. You should have seen my husband's face at the scan when the sonographer said, we better check it's not three. I didn't know you could go that color. But it was only two. It was two girls. And they were so cute. So cute. They were just beautiful girls. They still are. They're beautiful girls. They had this beautiful strawberry blonde hair, and they were just so cute. And I could dress them really, really beautiful. And not only were they cute girls, but they're identical. And so that makes them even more cute. Now, the boys, they went to this lovely pre-prep and prep school. And if you're not a posh English person, I will just explain, that means posh kinder and posh primary school. And when you go to a posh kinder and a posh primary school, it's normally single sex. So the school that the boys went to was all boys, so the girls couldn't go there. So I needed to find a school for my girls to go to. So I looked around and I found the perfect school uniform. It was this gorgeous little skirt that was checked and this little hat. And I told you my girls were cute, so they were going to look really, really, really cute if they went to this school. I was like, that is the school to go to. By the way, I never said God called me through my good mothering. Just through my mothering, okay? So this school's top of the list, and it's a Catholic school. That's okay, I've got this. I did not go to church every Sunday the whole of my childhood for nothing. They can go to a Catholic school. But in order to get them down on the list, they actually needed to be christened. So I went along to the church and I said to the priest, hey, how are you? I want my, well, I didn't because I was English and hadn't lived in Australia then. I said, oh, hello, how are you? And I went along to the church and I said, I really want to get these kids christened. And he said, that's fantastic. Who are you? I was like, well, I'm their mum and I'm Catholic. And he's like, nah, I don't know you. You have to come to church. God was speaking. So I went to church. I went to church for 8 weeks, got the kids christened, and then didn't go to church again. I wasn't listening or recognizing God in what was happening. Like Balaam, I wasn't looking beyond the natural to see what God was doing in the spiritual. Let's go on to Numbers 26 to 31 in chapter 22. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? And Balaam answered the donkey, you've made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road, with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The third and final time that God spoke to Balaam, there was no way out. And the third and final time that God spoke to me, called me back, he had to shout. After we had the children christened, life went absolutely pear-shaped. It just completely flunked. What we were doing was we were living in London. We were involved in the music business. We were out every weekend doing music business stuff, hanging around with people in the music business and living the rock and roll lifestyle. And it seemed to people from the outside that that was an envious lifestyle. You know, I can tell stories of people I've met and places I've been, and people thought that that was really cool and really exciting. But actually, Figuratively speaking, we were beating the donkey and just pressing forward in our own path. And before you send any animal cruelty people out, I do not condone beating donkeys, and I am actually vegetarian. But we were living this rock and roll lifestyle, and we were on our own path, and the people around us were also on their own path. And what happens is, when you are on your path and other people are on their own, there's often conflicts and there's issues. And so we ended up going to talk to my mother-in-law at that time, and we said, we've got these problems and these issues. And she said, the best thing you can do is to move to New Zealand. Strange advice, except for that she was a New Zealander and she had family there, so it wasn't quite that strange. So we moved to stay with her brother in Owaka, New Zealand, South Otago, population 250,000 sheep. We literally stood in the middle of the road. We'd moved from London to Owaka, and we stood in the middle of the road and went, where are the cars? Where are the people? So it was a little bit small for us. So we moved to the thriving metropolis of Balclutha, population 5,000 people. Huge, enormous. And my husband, who is a lot more spiritual than me, when we started to live in Balclutha, decided he was going to go to church. So off he went to church, and that was fine. But then the next week, he said to me, I'm going to church. And I said, okay, that's fine. When are you going to be back? And he said, well, last week I met these people at the church, the vicar and his wife, and they were lovely people. And so I'm actually going to have lunch. So I'll be back in about 5 hours. Again, not a perfect mothering moment, but I looked at my then four children. We had the fifth one later. I looked at my four children. I looked at my husband. And I said, you're going out for 5 hours and leaving me with them? No way, I'm coming too. And so I ended up going to church. And he was right, these people were really nice. And it wasn't just because they were Kiwis, because they weren't, because all Kiwis are nice, but these guys were South African. But they were nice. Like, please, South Africans can be nice. But what I'm saying is, it wasn't just because they were Kiwi. They were just so nice. And so they invited us to an Alpha course. So we're having an Alpha course starting tomorrow night. If you know somebody who needs to know about Jesus, make sure you take them on that Alpha course. And I thought, I'm going to go on this Alpha course because I was brought up in the church and I know all about God. I will tell them the answers to the questions that they seem to think they're going to ask. I will know the answers. I was a good scholar at school. I will go and tell them. But I didn't expect to meet Jesus face to face. But that's what happened. God opened my eyes just like he opened Balaam's. And I saw who Jesus is. I saw what he'd done for me. I saw that all of the rubbish and bad stuff that I'd done, he had taken the penalty for. And that he could take away all the shame for all that stuff. And he showed me that I didn't have to go down my own path anymore. And it didn't matter how far I'd gone down that path, it didn't matter how far away I was from him, he was going to bring me back, and I could come back, and I could have a relationship with him, and I could follow the right path, which is his path. He changed my life. He pursued me, he called me, he loved me, he spoke to me. God was speaking to me, God was speaking to Balaam. He speaks to us, but can we hear him? To hear him, we actually have to listen. Balaam listened once. He knew he had to go with the Moabites, but then he didn't listen again. I wasn't listening at all. I didn't expect God to speak to me. Perhaps you've heard God and you're doing what he's told you to do, but you've forgotten to go back and make sure that you're on the right path. Or perhaps you haven't checked, or you haven't tried listening at all, because it's something new to you and you're not expecting God to speak to you. Or perhaps you have tried listening and you don't think that God speaks to you, or that God wouldn't or couldn't speak to you. Well, I want to tell you right now, God does speak. God speaks to all of us. He wants to speak to us. We know that the mission of God is in the hands of ordinary people. That's you and me. God needs to speak to us. He needs to tell us what to do. He needs to help us on that mission. But more than that, God speaks to us because he wants to. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to speak to us. Imagine if you had a relationship with somebody and all you did was talk at them. I'm glad my husband's not here, because he might say that's what I do. That's what we do, though, with God often. We pray and we pray and we pray, but we don't listen to what God has to say. But he loves us and he wants to speak to us. We can expect to hear from him. And if we expect to hear from him and we look out for it, then we will hear him. The donkey could see what the man couldn't see. I thought I was going to church so that I could get my kids into the right school. I thought I was going to church because I didn't want to stay at home and look after them. But God was doing different things. And we may need to look beyond the natural to see what God is doing, and not allow our expectations to limit how we hear him. And we listen best when we've learned to recognize him. Many, many years ago, my dad was involved in amateur dramatics, and he was playing the voice of God in a play. And he didn't ever come on the stage, he was just off stage, but he had a good bass voice, and so he could be the voice of God. Actually, I won't do that, because if any of you ever seen Everybody Loves Raymond, you might take the mickey out of my voice of God. Dad did the voice of God off stage, and Mum took me and my sisters to see this play. And as we were watching the play, Dad's voice comes out as the voice of God. I'm sure he would say something amazing like, "I love you." And my sister stood up on her chair and shouted out, "That's my daddy." She knew his voice. She recognized his voice, because she'd stayed close to him, because she had a strong relationship with him. And she didn't just use reason and logic. And so that's how we can learn to recognize God's voice, by staying close to him. And the best teacher that we have is the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, it tells us that he will teach us all things. So we need to stay close by praying through what it is that we think God might be saying, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what God is saying to us. You know, God speaks in all sorts of different ways. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through visions and dreams. He speaks through motherhood and donkeys. He speaks through circumstances. But we have to listen, and we have to learn to recognize him by being attentive to how he's speaking, both to us and to other people. We need to discuss with other people what we think God is saying. You know, we have life groups here. They're a great place for you to discuss with people. Do you think this is God? Is this what God is saying? Balaam had heard God before. He knew he had to go with the Moabites, but he wasn't expecting him to speak in the way that he did. Perhaps, I mean, I wasn't there, but perhaps if he'd spoken with his servants that had gone with him, perhaps if he'd said to them, "This is unusual. This donkey doesn't normally behave like this. I wonder what is happening." Perhaps they would have said, "It's God speaking to you," and perhaps he would have seen the angel before the donkey had to speak. And you know, all the noise in our lives can drown out the voice of God. That noise can be busyness, it can be pursuing our own goals, pursuing our own path. It could be just like that, just like it was for me and for Balaam. And it could be that God is speaking to you, but you can't hear him. And then God has to shout or use a donkey. And when I look back and reflect, it's so obvious to me now. It's so obvious that God was saying, come back, Fiona. Come back to me. I love you. Come back. But it's only when I take the time to stop and reflect. The donkey asked Balaam questions that made him reflect. He said, am I in the habit of doing these things? So we need to lower the noise. Take time to reflect, whether that's daily or weekly or monthly. But we need to reflect on what we observe and what could God be saying through that. Otherwise, we can miss so many things. Maybe he's talking to you in a new way or about something new that you've not seen before. And as you reflect, you'll observe it and you'll notice it. Now, Pastor Tim P.S. is much more clever than me, and he has told us in the past, so I'm going to repeat it, that there is no Hebrew word for listen. The word means obey. There's no real translation. Balaam's response, let's read it in Numbers 22, 31. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell down. His response was to worship. His response was to lay down and surrender to God. There's absolutely no point in us listening. There's no point in us learning what God sounds like. There's no point in us reflecting and thinking about what he could be saying unless we actually lay down our lives, unless we actually surrender and do what God wants us to do and live it out. One of my children just got married at the end of March. I've got two down, another one to go in November, and then we'll have two more. That is a bad thing about having girls. They're expensive. But it's okay, the boys have got married. Anyway, we've just had this wedding, and Jesus went to a wedding with his mother. And when Jesus went to that wedding with his mother, they ran out of wine, and so his mother wanted him to do something about it. And so he performed his first miracle. He turned the water into wine. But I want to finish today with the best motherly advice that you can get. And it's from the mother of Jesus in John chapter 2, verse 5. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. God's speaking. We can expect to hear from him. We can expect to learn how to hear from him. And we need to slow down and reflect. But he is speaking. And then we need to do whatever he tells you to do. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes so that we can lower that noise around us. And as Johnny was saying, he's calling us deeper. So let's draw closer to him. He's passionately pursuing us. Lord, we pray right now that you will give us a hunger and an expectation to hear from you. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would come, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and show you where God is moving, show you where God is working, show you what you need to reflect on to see what God is saying to you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you courage and will give you grace to surrender to him and to his will. And for some of you right now, you might be heading down your own path. You may not have gone far, but God's stopping you and saying, come back. Or you may have gone a long way down your own path, but God is still stopping you and saying, come back. I love you. And if that's you right now, just want you to pray quietly in your heart these words after me. Father God, I want to thank you that you love me. Thank you that you passionately pursue me. Thank you that you speak to me. And thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for all the things that I've done wrong and for the times I've gone down my own path. Lord, right now, I'm stopping and I'm turning back to your path, and I invite you by the Holy Spirit to come and help me to live your way. In Jesus' name, amen.